وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And let not those who disbelieve ever think, أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that because we extend their time of enjoyment, it is better for them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. We only extend it for them so that they may increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating punishment. We see that sometimes there may be a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still he is living a very happy, a very successful, a very luxurious life. Similarly, we might find out about some people who don't pray salah, but they're very intelligent. Who don't read the Quran, but they're very successful in their secular studies. People who don't fast, but they're very healthy in their bodies. It's possible. And generally people think that they are like this. Why? Because what they are doing is right. They are like this. Why? Because what they are doing is right. See, they're taking riba, and hence they now have a house after 25 years. See, pays off. What does Allah say? وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ. Don't think like this. Don't get fooled. He is warning us. You will notice that in all of these ayat, لَا يَحْسَبَنَّ, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ comes over and over again. Why? Because many times people get fooled by how things appear, by how things seem to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just want us to take things at their surface, meaning just accept things as they are and get fooled by them. No. Reflect on their reality. So لا يحسبن, they should never think, who? الذين كفروا, those people who have disbelieved. They should never think, what? That أنما, that indeed what? نملي لهم, we give respite to them. It is خير لأنفسهم, it is better for them. أنما is a combination of أن and ما. أن means that indeed, and ma gives a meaning of that which. It gives a meaning of that which. But remember that ma, when it comes after anna or inna, it gives a meaning of hasr. What does it mean? It gives a meaning of hasr. What does hasr mean? Ha sadra. It limits the meaning. It limits the meaning. It constricts the meaning. So inna ma, how do you translate it? Inna indeed. Innama, indeed, not but, meaning nothing but this. This is the only case. So generally, when ma comes after inna or anna attached to it, then it gives a meaning of hasr. Over here, however, annama gives a meaning of indeed that which. So those people who disbelieve, they should never think that indeed whatever numli lahum, we are deferring for them. Numli is from the root letters mim lam wa, from the word malu. And mal literally means to walk briskly, to race. And the word mal gives us two meanings. The first meaning that it gives us is of length, when something is long. So for instance, it is said malwa is a long period of time. What is malwa? A long period of time. It gives a meaning of length. And the second meaning that this word gives is of wus'a. What does wus'a mean? Capacity, abundance. So for instance, the word mala is used for a desert, because it's very spacious. It's very spacious. And from this, imla is to give a long and enjoyable life. What does it mean? To give a life that is long and it's also enjoyable. It's very comfortable. It's luxurious. It is said malak Allah. Malak Allah is a dua, meaning may Allah give you a long life. Not just long life, but a long, happy life. Because what's the point of a long life if it's full of difficulties and hardship? That's not what people mean when they give you the dua, may you live a long life. What they mean is that may you live a long, happy, successful life. So, numli, meaning whatever we are deferring for them, whatever respite we are giving them, whatever time we are giving them, see, length, whatever time we are giving them, and whatever abundance we are giving them, whatever long life we are giving them, and whatever comfort we are giving them in their long lives. So they should not think that whatever we are giving to them, whatever we are making them indulge in, and delaying their punishment, it is khayrul li anfusihim, it is better for them. Because a person, he does not pray, but he's so successful. He takes haram, but again he's so successful in the dunya. So what is this? This is imla. This is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him respite, long life, and a lot of abundance, a lot of benefit in that life. And the accountability, the punishment is being deferred for him. You know how sometimes with some people it happens that they do something wrong and immediately they see the consequences. Or they want to do something wrong and they're not able to. For instance, some children, they wish to, you know, go somewhere without telling their parents, but they're not able to. Well, they make all their plans, but they're not able to. So this is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Allah does not allow you to do something wrong, He does not give you the tawfiq, He does not give you the ability. This is a big blessing. And on the other hand, there are people who do wrong and they find it very easy to do wrong. And they continue in their wrongdoing. They are not punished, they don't see any harmful consequences, and all that they see is just benefit. So over here, مَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ, whatever we are deferring for them, meaning whatever long life we're giving them, whatever enjoyment we're giving them, despite their wrongdoing, don't think that this is خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that this is better for them. But rather, it is worse for them. Then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them respite? He says, إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ, indeed we are giving them respite, لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا, so that they increase in sin. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for them is a humiliating punishment. لِيَزْدَادُوا, lam over here is of ta'lil, of cause, of reason. And over here, لِيَزْدَادُوا, so that, meaning the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them this time, is why? So that, يَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا, as a result of this long time, what are they going to do? As a consequence, they're going to increase in their sin. Yazdadu is from the root letter zayyada, from the word ziyada. What does ziyada mean? Increase. And the word yazdadu, I said the root letters are zayyadal. What's the first dal? It's actually a ta. The first dal is actually a ta. The word is actually liyazdadu. Liyazdadu. However, as with many other words in the Arabic language, the ta, it changes into dal. Just as we learned earlier, tazdakhiruna changes into taddakhiruna. So, liyazdadu, meaning so that they increase isman in sin. So, he is only giving them respite so that they increase in their sin. Because the longer life they will live, the more sins they will accumulate. The more opportunities they have, the more sins they will commit. The more wealth they have, the more money they have, because numli, imla, to give abundance, it also gives a sense of that they have so much money, despite the fact that they do so much wrong. A person is indulging in haram, and he makes so much money. And on the other hand, a person is staying away from haram, and he's limited in his resources. So over here, liyazdadu isman, how? That the more wealth they will have, the more sin they will commit. The more they will use it in wrong places. And obviously you know that wealth itself is not bad, but if a person uses it in bad, then it becomes a source of great loss for him. So, liyazdadu isman, so that they increase in their sin. Walahum adabu muheen, and for them is a disgraceful punishment. Muheen is from the root letters ha, wa, noon, haun, which is to be of little importance. And muheen, one that humiliates, one that disgraces, one that debases, one that insults. So for them is a punishment that is going to humiliate them. How? Because they had so much in the dunya. Imla, long life, luxury, a lot of wealth, a lot of pleasure. But all of that is going to be taken away from them in the hereafter. And when they will be punished, obviously, it's going to be a source of humiliation for them. Because just imagine a person who doesn't have anything. If he loses the little that he has, is it going to be a source of humiliation for him? No. But if a person has a lot, and then he loses everything, that's more humiliation for him. So, عذاب مهين. And also, عذاب مهين has been mentioned for them, and not عذاب عظيم or عذاب أليم. Why? Because the reason for their kufr, the reason for their kufr, the reason for their disbelief is what? It is their istikbar, it is their arrogance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates them with a punishment that is humiliating. We learn in the Quran in Surah Al-Qalam, Ayah 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. And I will give them time. Indeed, my plan is firm. Many times, people get fooled by the time that they are given, by the long life that they are given. It's okay, I will do this in the next few years. Or sometimes, a person thinks that, I have lived so many years doing this, and I have not suffered any harm. How could this be wrong? It's not wrong. So many times, people get fooled by the long life that they are given, by the amount of time that they spend in doing something that is wrong. What does Allah say? That I will give them respite. Indeed, my plan is firm. Don't think that this respite is forever. My plan is very firm. Soon you will be caught. Soon you will be punished. So what does this ayah teach us? That if a person has the luxuries of life, despite the wrong that he is committing, if a person is living a very luxurious, a very happy, a very successful life, despite the sins that he is committing, and by sins, we don't just mean kufr and nifaq, no. By sins, what is meant? Lying, backbiting, missing salah, delaying salah. So if a person sees that he still has luxury, despite the sins that he is committing, then he should know that this is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deferring, is giving him respite, is giving him more time and more rope. Just like an animal is given more rope so that it can go about freely. And then eventually the animal realizes that I have a leash around my neck and I cannot go any further. And then he is caught. Then he cannot go any further. So similarly, if a person sees that he is enjoying a happy life despite the wrong that he is doing, he should realize that this is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead of being happy, what should a person do? He should be concerned, he should be worried, and he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. He should turn to Allah immediately. We see that tests, they don't just come in the form of difficulties, in the form of calamities, in the form of hardships. But tests also come through what? Success, through wealth, through happiness, through luxury, through enjoyment. We think that if we are in a difficulty, that means Allah is upset with us. And if we are fine, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us. But that's not the case. That's not the reality. The reality is that depending on your actions, if you do good, then Allah is happy with you. If you do bad, then Allah is upset with you. So never be content with the state that you're in. Rather, focus on the kind of actions that you're committing and reform them. We learn from a hadith that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he related that a person asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Messenger of Allah, which people are the best? Which people are the best? He said, those whose life is long, the one whose life is long and his actions are good. Which person is the best? The one whose life is long and his actions are good. Then he asked, and what people are the worst? The Prophet ﷺ replied, he whose life is long and his actions are bad. He whose life is long and his actions are bad. So what makes a person good? Good life full of good actions. Long life full of good actions. And what makes a person bad? Long life full of sins, bad actions. We learn in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayat 55 and 56, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they think that what we extend to them of wealth and children is because we hasten for them good things? Rather, they do not perceive. So if a person has a lot of wealth and children in this dunya, he should not think that this is because Allah is giving me reward for the sins that I'm committing. No. بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Rather, they don't perceive. Similarly, in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 85, we learn, وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And let not their wealth and their children impress you. Whose wealth and children? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Allah only intends to punish them. Through who? Through their wealth and children in this world. And we see that sometimes a person's wealth, he loses it. A person's children, he loses them. A person spends so much time looking after his children and the children don't even look up to them anymore. They completely abandon their parents. And that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers. وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So we see here that a person should not get fooled by what? By the imla, by the respite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him. Rather, he should focus on the kind of actions that he is committing and he should reform himself. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah would not leave the believers in that state you are in presently. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Until he separates the evil from the good. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ. Allah would never ever leave. Who? الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the believers. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah would never leave the believers. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ. What does it mean? That this is not the way of Allah. This is not the practice of Allah. This cannot be expected of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is impossible. Allah would never do this. He is Qadir, he is capable of doing this. However, he would never ever do this. Why? Because it doesn't befit his wisdom, it doesn't befit his justice. What? That he would leave the believers as they are. He would leave the people as they are. Meaning, he would leave the people undistinguished. That the believers are not clear from those who are not sincere. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى upon, meaning in the state, مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ, that which you all are upon. أَنْتُمْ refers to you, O people. So just imagine the people of Medina, to be able to easily understand this ayah. And in Medina, who was present? The mushrikeen, as well as the Yahud. Okay, they were clearly distinguished. And then they were the believers. But the hypocrites, they were hidden. They were concealed under the veil of Islam. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. When they met the believers, they would say, we have believed. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he would never leave the believers عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ, in the state that all of you are in. That the believers, the true believers, the sincere believers are unknown, they are undistinguished. That the impure, the unclean is mixed with the pure. This is against Allah's wisdom, this is against Allah's justice. So he would not leave the people as they are. Rather, he is going to show the pure one and he is going to show the impure one. He is going to manifest the believer and he is going to manifest who? The hypocrite as well. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثِ. Until he distinguishes the impure. يَمِيزَ is from the root letters Mim ya zai, from the word maiz. And what does maiz mean? To distinguish. It is to separate things, it is to distinguish things on the basis of priority. That you make one superior to the other. You give one more preference compared to the other. So for instance, you have a stack of books. You have a whole lot of books, or a whole lot of sheets, pieces of paper. How are you going to pile them up? One is that you just put them together as a stack and then deal with them as they come. But sometimes the more important a particular paper is, the more important a particular letter is, what are you going to do? You're going to put it at the top. So yamiza is to separate things. How? Based on priority. By making one superior to the other. So he is going to distinguish the khabiz min al-tayyib, from the tayyib. What is khabiz? That which is impure, that which is filthy. And what is tayyib? That which is clean, that which is good. So who does a khabiz refer to? The hypocrites. And who does a tayyib refer to? The believers. The khabiz, yes, it does apply to the mushrikeen, the Yahud. Yes, it does apply to them. However, they were clearly distinguished from the believers anyway. They were clearly distinguished. The problem was the hypocrites. So Allah was definitely going to reveal and expose the hypocrites. And He was also going to expose who? The believers. How? How does Allah expose the hypocrites? How does Allah expose the believers? How? Think about it. Through tests and trials. Through difficult situations. As it happened at the Battle of Uhud. That about 1,000 people left from Medina, but 300 came back, and 700 continued. What did that show? That the 700 who continued are who? Believers. And the 300 who returned, who are they? Hypocrites. They are khabis, they are not tayyib. And the tayyib are who? Those who stay with the Prophet ﷺ. Similarly, when the people came back from Uhud, what were the statements of the munafiqun and what were the statements of the believers? So through difficulties, through trials, what happens? The iman of a person, it becomes clear. It becomes evident. How much of a believer is this person? How much does he really rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much does he really rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Similarly, we see that at the Battle of Uhud, some people, when they heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been killed, what did they do? They gave up. And other people, they continued. They continued. That if he has died, then we should also continue. So the tests, difficulties, what do? They reveal the iman, the conviction, the determination, the commitment of a person. Similarly, all of the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on the people, through them also, the iman of a person is clear. So for instance, how much does a person pray? Or does he pray or does he not pray? How much importance does he give to salah? On the apparent, everybody is a Muslim. Everyone has a Muslim name. They come from Muslim families. But whose iman is truly acceptable to Allah? How is that going to be made known? Through the obligations in the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon the people. That how much does a person fulfill them? How much sadaqah does he give? Does he give zakat or does he not give zakat? Is hajj a priority for him? Is it not a priority for him? Working for the deen of Allah, is it a priority for him or is it not a priority for him? So, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguish between the khabith and the tayyib? First of all, through tests and trials. Secondly, through all of the fara'id, through all of the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on the people. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. But wouldn't it be simpler if the names of the hypocrites were just given to the people? Because the believers have to go through difficulties then. Why? So that the hypocrites can be known. Is that fair? Just imagine, one person is sincere, sincere believer. And on the other hand, there is a person who is not sincere. Everybody is going to go through the difficulty so that the hypocrite may be known and the believer may be known. Is it fair for the believer that he is going through difficulty? Outwardly, it doesn't seem to be fair, because it's not his fault. He is sincere. Only the hypocrite should go through a difficulty. But when the believer goes through a difficulty, he goes through a trial, what happens? It increases him in his iman. It increases him in his faith. As we learned yesterday. It increases him in his determination, in his sacrifice. And obviously that increases him in his reward. And on the other hand, the hypocrite, he is clearly known as well. He is distinguished as well. Over here Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. And Allah is not going to, لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ, that He would inform you, عَلَى الْغَيْبِ, about the unseen. What does the unseen mean? Who exactly is a hypocrite and who is not? That Allah is not going to inform you through wahi or otherwise that so-and-so person is a hypocrite and so-and-so person is not a hypocrite. Through ghaib, He's not going to inform people. It's not that in every generation a list of hypocrites comes down from the heavens, telling people, informing them who is a hypocrite and who is not. No, that doesn't happen. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. Allah is not going to tell you about the ghaib. He's not going to inform you about the ghaib. But rather, He is going to separate the believers from the munafiqun. How? Through tests. Through trials. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ, but Allah, يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He selects, He chooses from His messengers whomsoever He wills. يَجْتَبِي is from the root letters جِيم بَاوَاو, from the word جِبَايَ. جِبَايَ literally is to collect. What does it mean? To collect something. And it is to collect something and take it far away. To gather and then take it away. So for instance, you go to the grocery store. You don't pick up everything. You only pick what you want. And once you pick it, what do? Do you leave it there? No, you take it home. So you select that which is most suitable for you, which is best for you, which is most appropriate for you. There could be many things over there, but you only take what you need, what you like, what you prefer, what is halal, what is tayyib. And you leave the rest. You leave the rest that you don't need. So ijtaba is to select something. It is to choose something. And then take it far. What does it mean by take it far? Meaning, take it far from the rest. Take it far from the rest. So over here, يَجْدَبِ مِن رُسُلِهِ. He selects from his messengers. Meaning, he selects as his messengers. So the people, they're all the same. But now one person is chosen to be the messenger of Allah. So he's not just selected, but he is also distinguished. He is also distinguished because there is a word istafa also for choosing. There are many other words, but ijtaba is to select and then to distinguish. So walakin Allah yajtabi min rusulihi, from his messengers, man yasha, whoever he wills. And when Allah selects a messenger, what does he do? He informs that messenger about some of the ghaib, about some of the unseen. So we see that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hypocrites, their names were actually informed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about who exactly was a hypocrite. But this list is not mentioned in the Quran. Similarly, this list was not made common amongst the Sahaba either. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only shared this with who? Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, with one companion. Not Abu Bakr, not Umar. And Umar radiallahu anhu came up to Hudhayfa and he said, tell me if I'm in that list. Tell me if I'm in that list. And then he told him that, no, you're not in that list. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he was content. But until then he was worried. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he was informed about who was a hypocrite and who was not a hypocrite. But after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no way for anyone to say for sure that so and so is a hypocrite and so is a true believer. Why? Because people change. People change. Today, a person is very strong in his iman. Tomorrow, you see him leaving even the fara'id, leaving even the obligations. So people change over time. And also, the list is not publicized. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sittir. Sittir. The one who conceals. The one who hides. What? The faults of people. Now just imagine, if that list was publicized amongst the people of Medina, and their relatives, their brothers, their fathers, their sons were true believers, were sincere believers, imagine how hurt they would be. Imagine how embarrassed they would be. They wouldn't be able to show their face. You know, sometimes if there is a person and one of his relatives is a criminal or has done something that is very wrong, how do they feel? They feel very shy. They feel very embarrassed. They can't face the people. They lose their confidence. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not publicize the list, the names of the hypocrites. Rather, He reveals them, He exposes them. How? Through trials and difficulties. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. So all of you believe in Allah and His messengers. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا. And if you believe. وَتَتَّقُوا. And you fear. تُؤْمِنُوا. If you believe, how? In your heart. And تَتَّقُوا. You fear, how? Through your limbs. فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Then for you is a great reward. أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. A reward that is great. Notice reward has been called أجر. أجر is actually a wage. Something that is given to a person for some work that he has done. Now if you look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who gives the tawfiq to people to do something good. And when they do something good, it's not mandatory upon Him to reward them. But still He rewards them. And He calls that reward ajr. Because ajr is what? Something that is mandatory upon the employer to give. It is mandatory upon him. And if he doesn't give it, it's unfair. It's zulm. It's injustice. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ajr. Why? To make us feel good. That whatever you will do, you will get the reward for it, inshallah. Just as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the believers to give sadaqah, what does He say? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah does not need a loan. But why does He say that? To reassure us that whatever you're giving, you're going to get it back. It is going to come back to you. So, وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Then for you is a great reward. Recitation.
ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء فآمنوا بالله ورسله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم.
We see that until the time of the Battle of Uhud, the believers and the hypocrites, they were undistinguished. They were mixed together. It wasn't clear as to who was a true believer and who was not a believer. And at the Battle of Uhud, this was clarified. The people who came back, who didn't go along the Prophet ﷺ, their hypocrisy was revealed. Their insincerity to the deen, that was revealed. And on the other hand, the Sahaba, their iman was also revealed. That how committed they were, how sincere they were in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. And if you believe and you have taqwa, فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. So the believers, on the other hand, their iman was also exposed. The sincerity of their iman. And we learned that at the Battle of Uhud, what happened? We learned that two rings from the metal chain strap of the helmet worn by the Prophet ﷺ had been embedded into his cheek. So two rings, what happened? They were embedded in his cheek. They pierced through and they got stuck there. And we learned that Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah, what did he do? He pulled out one of the rings and one of his front teeth dropped out. And he didn't stop there. He pulled out another ring and another tooth of his fell down. What did that show? His iman in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he was willing to suffer the pain in order to relieve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the pain. Also we learned that Abu Dujana, he leaned over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to shield him from arrows. Just imagine, he became a shield for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until many arrows were stuck in his back. Just imagine. He became a shield for the Prophet ﷺ so that all of the arrows that the mushrikeen were throwing towards the Prophet landed on his back. We also learned that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he stood by the Prophet ﷺ shooting arrows in his defense. And the Prophet ﷺ handed him the arrows one by one, saying to him, "Shoot, may my father and my mother be ransomed for you." What did that show? The iman of Sa'd ibn Waqqas. Also we learned that Ziyad bin As-Sakan and five others of the Ansar, they were holding the enemy back from the Prophet ﷺ. And the friends of Ziyad, the five of them, they fought and they died. One by one, and Ziyad became disabled by numerous wounds. Why? Why did he do that? In defense of the Prophet ﷺ, because of his iman. And the Prophet ﷺ, he asked some people to bring Ziyad near him. And the Prophet ﷺ made his foot a support for Ziyad's head. And Ziyad died in that condition, keeping his cheeks on the Prophet ﷺ's foot. Also we learn that on the way back from Uhud, the Muslim army, as it was entering Medina, there was a woman whose husband and brother and father had been killed. When she was told of their death, she asked, "Tell me first about the Prophet." The people replied, "Alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is safe." But she was not satisfied and asked whether she could see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam herself. And when the people brought her to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "Now that you are safe, every adversity is gone. Every adversity is gone now that you are safe." And there are many, many other stories that we can learn about the Sahaba. Why did this happen? To show the sincerity of their iman. So trials and difficulties, they come. And what do? They reveal the iman of the believer, and they reveal the hypocrisy, the weakness of faith of the munafiq. And these trials are necessary, because sometimes they shake us, they wake us up, that what am I doing? Where is my sincerity? Where is my iman? How come I failed? How come I did this? How come I did that? So these trials are necessary because they wake us up and they make us realize about the level of our iman, so that we can do something. And on the other hand, there are some people who, despite the wrong that they're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them respite. He does not make them go through difficulties or trials, or does not punish them immediately for the wrong that they're doing. What do we learn about them? That this is not good for them. They should not think that this is good for them. It is not good for them at all. It is bad for them. And on the day of judgment, they will suffer from a great punishment. So if we go through trials and difficulties, what's the purpose? That the iman is revealed. The true value of iman is revealed. Just as in when you buy anything, what do? You want to test it, right? You test its worth. You test if it's authentic, if it's original, and how much capacity does it have, how much ability does it have. Similarly, when we claim that we are believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. Are we really sincere? Are we really truthful? Or is it just lip service? Is it just something outward that we're displaying? Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
ولا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر إنهم لن يضروا الله شيئا يريد الله ألا يجعل لهم حظا في الآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم إن الذين اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان لن يضروا الله شيئا لن يضروا الله شيئا ولهم عذاب أليم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء فآمنوا بالله ورسله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم